Egypt's president-elect Mohamed Morsi plans to appoint a woman as one of his vice presidents. The yet-to-be-named woman would be Egypt's first woman vice president, serving alongside Egypt's first Coptic Christian vice president, also yet to be named. Mona Makram Abed is a former member of Egypt's parliament, joins us now. Mona is also a political science professor at the American University in Cairo. Mona Abed, it's great to have you with us. What do you make of these gestures? Are they sincere?
Well, until now we can't tell, and that's why we said we will hold him accountable to all the pledges he made during his electoral campaign. It's not only nominating a Copt or nominating a woman, but there are many other things that he has to fulfill. He said that he will be a defender of the rights of citizenship, of civil rights, of economic rights, of the rights of creativity, and so on. I mean, he has touched upon everything, but we still don't know how true this will be.
Nevertheless, for Egyptians, how revolutionary is the idea of having a woman as vice president right there next to the president, Mohamed Morsi?
It's revolutionary for Mr. Morsi, but not for the Egyptians. I'm sure the Egyptians will accept that and will be very happy, and particularly the sector of women and the sector of Christians, if they see this fulfilled. Mind you, it will not be a very executive post, but at least it's a symbol. It's a symbol of the new era that we're entering in. We've never had a woman as a vice president. We've never had a Copt as a vice president. So it sends some reassuring indications.
Talking with Mona Makram Abed, who's a former member of Egypt's parliament. She's also a political science professor at the American University in Cairo. You mentioned that it's an important symbol, having a woman vice president and a Coptic Christian vice president. But is there a danger that a symbol, if powerless, produces more disillusionment than engagement in politics?
You know, you can't have it all from the very beginning. So let's start with the symbol and let's see what kind of guarantees and what kind of powers that Mr. Morsi is prepared to give to these vice presidents, not only the Copt or the woman, the rest of them. Will they have a role to play, or will they just be a decoration for them to show the outside world how democratic they are? We still don't know. But we hope that there will be some specific, that first of all, the choice should be made upon merit and not upon religion or anything else, and that they will have a role to fulfill and to be accountable, just as he will be accountable after 100 days to see if he has held his pledges.
You said something actually quite striking and I think actually brilliant a moment ago. You said that having a woman vice president was revolutionary for Mohamed Morsi, but not for Egyptians such as yourself. How much has this man, Mohamed Morsi, surprised you?
Well, he has surprised me, of course, when he won the election, because we thought it was his rival who would win. But we accepted. You know, we are on the path of democracy. It's a very rocky path, but we are on the path of democracy. And I think that what we're seeing is really the rebirth of a people who had been forcefully stagnating by their political elite. So today, the response of the MBEs to all the challenges that are facing the country will be pivotal to the future of Egypt. He has to reassure women that all their rights will not be revoked. He has to reassure the anxieties of the Christians, who are extremely anxious about their future. And he has to reassure the anxieties of an apprehension of the 12 million voters who voted for his rival. So we are waiting. He presents himself as a rainbow leader. So let's see.
All right. Well, we'll let you take a breath there for a moment, Mona Makram Abed, because I want to ask you a question that's even broader than that. It seems to me that a lot of the young people that we spoke with in the weeks leading up to the election for parliament, people we spoke with during the uprising in Tahrir Square, their chief concern was that in a power struggle between the military elites and the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamist elite, that there would be no voice for the secular sort of middle ground, the progressive, the some would say more educated classes in Egypt. Is there going to be a role for that group, which really in many ways was a key component of this uprising? Will there be a voice for that group in this new government?
I don't know about this new government, but certainly in the opposition. Today there is a group forming itself, calling itself the Third Way or the Third Path, and these are exactly the people you have described, which are the secular who refused both the domination of clerics and both the domination of the military. And some of them, most of them in fact, have refrained from going even to the elections. They are today getting themselves together finally and trying to form an alternative, because from here to 4 years, this is really where the performance and the future of Egypt will be decided. Not now. Now is just the beginning. But in 4 years, if there is no alternative, then it will be an Islamic government for good.
What if you were asked to be that vice president? Would you take the call from Mohamed Morsi?
He didn't call me.
If he did, would you take the call?
Yeah, I would take the call, because I wouldn't be working for Mr. Morsi. I would be working for the country. If this is a place where I can serve my country, I will accept.
How do we hold Mohamed Morsi in a tangible way accountable in the way that you think is absolutely important here?
100 days, that's what we gave him. And he himself said, after 100 days, I shall be accountable. So we and this group I'm talking to you about, which is the Third Way, are going to hold him accountable. They will withdraw their support to him. They will withdraw, he'll lose credibility. And after all, what they want is really to get to win more seats in the next parliamentary elections, which will take place very soon, I think. Within a year, once the constitution is drafted, we will have new parliamentary elections. I'm sure they don't want to lose their majority, which I believe they will lose, but by not being true to their pledges, they will lose even more popularity. Mm.
And optimistic and energetic sounding Mona Makram Abeid, you hold on to your health there, Mona.
We should stop smoking.
We want to see you in Parliament, that's for sure. Mona Makram Abeid, speaking with us, former member of Egypt's Parliament, also a political science professor at the American University in Cairo. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.